Chapter 1. January 10th, 2009. It was a Saturday. It was his son's birthday. The Santa Barbara weather was beautiful, and his sister-in-law was in from France. But Hal Finney needed to be at his computer. This was a day he had been anticipating for months, and in some sense, for decades. Hal didn't even try to explain to his wife, Fran, what was occupying him. She was a physical therapist and rarely understood his computer work. But with this one, where would he even begin? "Honey, I'm going to try to make a new kind of money." That, in essence, was his intention, when, after a long morning run, he sat down in his modest home office, a corner of his living room with an old sectional desk taken up primarily by four computer screens of different shape and make, all wired to the separate computers he used for work and personal pursuits. Any space that wasn't occupied by computer equipment was covered in a jumble of papers, exercise books, and old programming manuals. It wasn't much to look at. But sitting there, Hal could see his patio on the other side of his living room, bathed in California sun, even in the middle of January. On the carpet to his left, lay Archie, his faithful Rhodesian Ridgeback, named after a star in the constellation Bootes. This was where he felt at home, and where he had done much of his most creative work as a programmer. He fired up his hulking IBM Think Center, settled in, and clicked on the website he'd gotten in an email the previous day while he was at work, www.bitcoin.org. Bitcoin had first crossed his screen a few months earlier, in a message sent to one of the many mailing lists he subscribed to. The back and forth was usually between the familiar personalities he'd been talking to for years, who inhabited the relatively specialized corner of coding where he worked. But this particular email came from an unfamiliar name, Satoshi Nakamoto, and it described what was referred to as an e-cash, with the catchy name Bitcoin. Digital money was something Hal had experimented with for a long time, enough to make him skeptical about whether it could ever work. But something jumped out in this email. Satoshi promised a kind of cash that wouldn't need a bank or any other third party to manage it. It was a system that could live entirely in the collective computing memory of the people who used it. Hal was particularly drawn to Satoshi's claim that users could own and trade bitcoins without providing identifying information to any central authorities. Hal had spent most of his professional life working on programs that allowed people to elude the ever-watchful gaze of the government. After reading the 9-page description contained in what looked like an academic paper, Hal responded enthusiastically. "When Wikipedia started, I never thought it would work. But it has proven to be a great success for some of the same reasons," he wrote to the group. In the face of skepticism from others on the email list, Hal had urged Satoshi to write up some actual code for the system he had described. A few months later, on this Saturday in January, Hal downloaded Satoshi's code from the Bitcoin website. A simple .exe file installed the Bitcoin program and automatically opened up a crisp-looking window on his computer desktop. When the program opened for the first time, it automatically generated a list of Bitcoin addresses that would be Hal's account numbers in the system and the password or private key that gave him access to each address. Beyond that, the program had only a few functions. The main one, send coins, didn't seem like much of an option for Hal, given that he didn't have any coins to send. But before he could poke around further, the program crashed. It didn't deter Hal. After looking at his computer logs, he wrote to Satoshi to explain what had happened when his computer had tried to link up with other computers on the network. Apart from Hal, the logs showed that there were only two other computers on the network, and both of those were from a single IP address, presumably Satoshi's, tied to an internet provider in California. Within an hour, Satoshi had written back, expressing disappointment with the failure. He said he'd been testing it heavily and never encountered any trouble. But he told Hal that he had trimmed down the program to make it easier to download, which must have introduced the problem. "I guess I made the wrong decision," Satoshi wrote with palpable frustration. Satoshi sent Hal a new version of the program, with some of the old material restored, and thanked Hal for his help. When it, too, crashed, Hal kept at it. He finally got it running using a program that operated outside Microsoft Windows. Once it was up, he clicked on the most exciting-sounding function in the drop-down menu, Generate Coins. When he did this, the processor in his computer audibly clicked into gear at a high clip. With everything running, Hal could take a break and attend to his familial duties, including a family dinner at a nearby Chinese restaurant and a small birthday party for his son. The instructions Satoshi had included with the software said that actually generating coins could take days or months, depending on the speed of your computer and the competition on the network. Hal dashed off a quick note telling Satoshi that everything was working. "I have to go out, but I'll leave this version running for a while."